one final poem and a serious one this time, and I ask apologies in advance for my Spanish accent when I quote two lines from García Lorca that are too familiar, I'm sure, to all of you to translate. This is called October 1973. It was written at the time of the overthrow of the Allende government by the Chilean junta. The poem is transcribed, not based on, but transcribed from a dream, as simply and as unornamented as I could make it. There is a character in the poem named Barbara, and when I describe what she did as a young woman, that is all true, but the rest of the poem is the dream. And the figure in the dream who was very much on my mind, sleeping and waking, was the Chilean poet Nicanor Parra, who had gone back to Chile just weeks before and had been trapped there by the revolution. October 1973. Last night I dreamed I ran through the streets of New York looking for help for you, Nicanor. But my few friends who are rich or influential were temporarily absent from their penthouses or hotel suites. They had gone to the opera or flown for the weekend to Bermuda. At last I found one or two of them at home preparing for social engagements, absently smiling as they tried on gown after gown until heaps of rich, beautiful fabric were strewn over the chairs and sofas. They posed before mirrors with their diamonds and trinkets and floor-length furs. Smiling at me from the mirror, they vaguely promised help. They became distracted by constantly ringing phones, by obsequious secretaries bustling in with packages, flowers, messages, all the paraphernalia, all part of the uninterruptible round of the rich, the nice rich, smiling soothingly as they touched their hair or picked up their phone extensions. Absently patting my arm, they smiled. It will be all right. Dusk fell on the city as I ran naked, weeping into the street. I ran to the home of Barbara, my friend, who was a young girl, rescued four loyalist soldiers from a Spanish prison. In her teenage sweater set and saddle shoes and knee socks, she drove an old car, sagging with loyalist pamphlets, across the Pyrenees, all the way to Paris without being caught. And not long ago, she helped save a group of Basques from Franco's sentence of death. In my dream, Barbara telephones Barcelona. I realize this isn't quite right, but just stand there paralyzed as one does in dreams. Then, dimly from the other end of the line, through the chatter of international operators, we hear artillery fire, the faint tones of lost men, cracked voices singing Los Cuatros Generales through the pulsations of the great twisted cable under the ocean. Agonía, agonía, sueño fermente y sueño. Este es el mundo, amigo. Agonía, agonía. No, Barbara, I scream. We are not back there. That's the old revolution. Call up the new one. Though I know that every day, your friends, Nicanor, telephone Santiago, where the number rings and rings and rings with never an answer. And now the rings are turning into knells, the church bells of Santiago tolling the funeral of Neruda, his poems looted, his autobiography stolen, his books desecrated in his house on Isla Negra. And among the smashed glass, the broken furniture, his desk overturned, the ruined books strewn over the floor, lie the great floral wreaths from the Swedish Academy, the wreaths from Paris, South Asia, the whole world over. And the bells toll on. Then I tell Barbara to hang up the phone. But she dials the number again, then turns to me smiling, smiling like an angel. He is there, trembling. I take the phone from her and hear your voice, Nicanor. Sad, humorous, infinitely disillusioned, infinitely consoling. Dear Caroline, it is Nicanor. and the connection is broken. Because I wake up in this white room, in this white silence, in this backwater of silence, on this Isla Blanca. Nicanor, Nicanor, are you too silent under the earth, brother, brother? Thank you.